And a conversation we cannot avoid. StatsCan putting out new numbers on inflation this morning. 8.1% in June compared to a year ago. The largest yearly change since January 1983. So just showing you the breadth of the economic problem we're dealing with right now. Moj Lander is a senior lecturer in economics at Concordia University and joins us on the line. Good morning, Moj.
Hello.
So 8.1, I was kind of trying to find the optimistic part of this. I saw the U.S. was 9.1 last week. That's the best I could do. I guess just as an economist, what's the good news, bad news out of both these numbers?
Well, I've got good news for you. The good news is that the experts were expecting 8.4.
So
8.1 is 8.1 is a positive here. We're not even as high as we thought we were going to be. So, yeah, it's hard to find good news in this, but it's not as big a jump as was expected. The governor of the central bank was saying last week, expect over 8%, and this is just over 8%. So it's not a sign that we're past the worst yet, but at least it's good news that it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
Do you think it's a sign that those aggressive kind of interest rate hikes that we've seen from the Bank of Canada are beginning to kind of work in that sense?
No. So that's a good point that you raise, and I think it's an important one to dispel right away. So interest rate hikes usually take about a year before they're fully felt. And so if you saw last week, the governor in that same speech where he was saying expect over 8, he was also saying that don't expect to get down to 3% until late next year, and don't expect 2%, which is what the 30-year average has been, until maybe the beginning of 24. So what we're seeing right now is not really due to last week's interest rate hike. The first interest rate hike back in February was only 25 basis points, and that'll have a very, very mild effect on the economy, but it's still just in its beginning stages of working its way through.
Yeah, fascinating to kind of hear that. So in that sense, you know, some of the aggressive interest rate hikes that we're seeing right now, we're probably not going to feel those until next year.
Right. And so the easiest way for listeners to understand that is that even though the interest rate was increased by a full percentage point, when I was talking to you last week, in fact, I was saying that, variable rate mortgage holders are not seeing their payments go up, at least most of them aren't. All they're seeing is just the amount that they're paying in interest has gone up, but the actual payment hasn't changed. So they're not going to see it until they go to renew their mortgage. And that could be in a year's time, 3 years time, 5 years time. So those interest rate hikes will take a while before, say, mortgage holders see it. And if you have lines of credit or credit card debt or things like that, right, you still have to get around to your next payment before you see the real impact of that. So it does take time to work its way through.
And to think of it, a year or 12 months isn't really that long of a time in terms of the economy. But we were talking a little bit earlier this hour about kind of food prices calming down a little bit. Do you see, I guess, what's continuing to push the inflation higher right now?
It is food. It is gasoline, the same culprits that it's been for the last few months. Food prices won't rise as high in the summertime, because we can now start buying local. During the winter, we have to import a vast amount of our food. And so where you were saying, you know, the UK rate was high, the US rate is high too. And guess what? We import a lot of stuff from the US. So we've been, in a sense, importing some of their inflation. But in the summertime, when all of our agricultural products kick into full gear, we buy local. And so the inflationary pressure isn't quite as great. And so that was maybe not as big a jump as it's been in previous months.
And just in terms of, I guess, looking at some of the rates, we've seen stuff going up, gasoline, as you mentioned, travel accommodations, another one. But I guess, do you see we're getting a bit of a break on the price of food? I guess it's not going up as fast. But is there anything we're saving money on, or we can be saving money on to look ahead to the rest of this year?
Well, I think that's at a very individualistic sort of level, right? The thing with seeing inflationary numbers is that this is merely just a broad nationwide pattern, right? It doesn't necessarily speak to the individual. So if you find that, you know, the price of one brand of hamburgers has gone up substantially more than the other, then as an individual, you have to decide, do you want to continue to buy the brand that you have been, or do you want to jump to the one that hasn't increased as much? And that really influences, you know, your family's inflationary pressures. And so if you're willing to substitute, if you're willing to forego, if you're not looking to travel, then you won't be exposed to the high gas prices, the high travel prices and things like that. It's a way that you can economize and maybe not experience the 8.1 that the average Canadian is experiencing.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, is it two cars or is it one car? Do we skip that trip? It is very individualized. We'll leave it there for now. But Moshe, thank you so much again for your time. I really appreciate it.
Anytime.
Moshe Lander at Concordia University, economics lecturer, chatting about the inflation numbers out this morning, just over 8%. Try to stick to the optimistic side a little bit, but he did say it was 0.3% less than what experts were expecting, and still about a full percent lower than the U.S. rate last week that were released.